After countless steps and more than a few miles, your dog drives you forward one last time to make that final climb. And as the rising sun peeks out from the horizon, you know, incredible happens here because it starts here with the fuel that makes it all possible. ProPlan Sport. Discover advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours at ProPlanSport.com.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it is time for the second half of the Steelers postgame podcast. Once again, my name is Michael Beck. I'm here with Dave Schofield and Kyle Kreiss of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 500. They are 3-3 heading into the bye week. Dave Schofield, what does that mean to you and to this organization?
That means we can feel better for 2 weeks rather than feeling terrible. You know what I mean? Yeah, it honestly really does. It goes to show that this team is still a work in progress. I mean, come on, up 14-0 at halftime. What really would have made Steelers fans and players and everyone feel better is if you come out and you win the game, you know, 30-3 or something like that. But it's the NFL. These are all professional players. And what do you know? Those Seattle Seahawks, they're going to go out there and try to win a game as well. So they did come out and play well in the second half, but the Steelers did enough to win. And that's the key. I mean, if all you have to do is look around to another team that happens to be leading the division right now, where in which the Steelers play, and you learn that you don't always have to win pretty. And all you have to do is sometimes win the games that you shouldn't even win, because that's why they're leading the division. Is they won three games they shouldn't have won, but they managed to find a way to win them. And that's what happened tonight with the Steelers. If it wasn't for that good first half, just think of how this would have ended just based on the second half. The Steelers did enough in the first half to have enough of a lead, did enough in the second half to send it to overtime, and then got the big play. So build on it, roll through the bye week, and get ready for some AFC North football.
Oh, yeah. Cleveland Browns are the next opponent a couple weeks from now. Kyle, I'll load up the Super Chat and ask it to you. You tend to comb through social media, of course, for your podcast, and you break some stuff down. So I want to know if you think this is a correct statement here from Tyler W., who puts $5 in the tip charge. He says, the Steelers played arrogantly, but also played big when we needed it. Defense can't hold teams to less than 20 points, so the offense needs to target 28 points per game. Do you agree with this statement, Kyle?
I mean, the general gist of it makes sense, but I remember the Killer Bees years. We said we got to score 30 points every game, and that didn't happen. So, you know, the reality is, it becomes situational. I hate to sound like coach. Every game is a different situation, and sometimes you got to play a backup quarterback and you shut him out in the first half, and you can still take you to overtime. You know, and sometimes you play the best quarterback in the conference in week one, and you know, you make him look like Colt McCoy. So yes, we want to keep them to under 20 points, and yes, we want to score 28 every time, but sometimes, you know, there might be a 9-6 squeaker in there, and we're gonna have to win those too, you know.
No, wholeheartedly agree on that. Another super chat here from Thanks Mean Joe, who also puts $5 in the tip jar. Says Cam was playing like a man against boys today, pushing blockers back with one hand, then playing seek and destroy. Gotta love it. Now, we already talked a bunch about the defensive front in the first half. What about the push from the Steelers' offensive line? I'll ask this to Dave first here. The Steelers offense, they did all right running the ball. Najee Harris, not quite 100 yards, but I believe 86 on the ground. They had a decent day for themselves. Ben was fairly clean. What did you think of the push from this group that is still definitely trying to figure things out?
They're still trying to figure things out. I mean, you're exactly right there. Yeah, Najee Harris had 81 on the ground. 81. The Steelers had 119 rushing yards total, and that's including, you know, minus three from Ben taking a knee. Well, I don't know if you can call the one take. Well, the one was a flop. One was a knee. You know what I mean? So and the person who had the least amount of yards other than Roethlisberger was Eric Ebron rushing the ball, which, I mean, my goodness, I can't believe that was his third rushing touchdown of his career. But, you know, it's funny because I know Kyle, watching social media, probably saw how maybe some people out there were saying, yeah, the Steelers faked an end around to Ebron and it didn't fool anyone. Like, they'd ever really give him the ball. So guess what? If it didn't fool anyone, you give him the ball for a touchdown. Anyway, let's get back to the O-line. Yeah, they had their moments. Much better. I mean, out of Najee's 81 rushing yards, I think it was it 46 or 40, 48 of them came in the fourth quarter or overtime. And that was kind of, you know, when you needed them. So as the game wore on, they started to really, you know, and it came back to a close and then tie game. That's when they really started getting a little bit more push. So it's the offensive line, I think you need to go from kickoff to triple zeros is what you really want to see there. It's going to continue. They're going to have up and down weeks. This week, I wouldn't call it an up week, but it also definitely wasn't their trough game either. You know, the lowest of the low.
I think it's encouraging that, you know, when we were tied at 17 there in the fourth, we still were able to commit. I don't know if we committed, but we ran the ball to get that field goal to go up at the end. You know, so like we didn't abandon it in the fourth, at least.
Yeah, to even tweak the question a little bit for you, Kyle, here, this offensive line in general, it seems like they're kind of starting to play a little bit better together. Would you agree with that? Are they playing better now than they did against Buffalo and the Raiders early on in this season?
Well, yeah, I think the last two games have obviously been a different, you know, it's a different subset than the first month. You'd have to, you know, they've certainly progressed that long. I think it was, you know, I don't want to say was it hit and miss tonight, but, you know, we had a couple big drive, you know, a couple 9-play, 8-play drives, and then a couple that fell flat. So it's, we still need some big play passing to make up for the lack of, big drives that we're not consistently having.
Now, Straight Ace puts $5 in the tip jar, says, have to admit, the O-line is slowly coming together. And I would definitely agree with this. Of course, coming to the bye week now, Zach Banner has been taken off the injured reserve. He was a healthy scratch, but he was still available before being scratched before the game. So we should expect him to be in the lineup in some capacity when they take on the Cleveland Browns in a couple weeks. So, Dave, I'm curious what you think will be different when Zach Banner's able to go, whether or not you'll start at right tackle, and how the Steelers' tackle situation is going to look with who starting at what spot.
Well, I didn't hear any injury update from Coach Tomlin in his press conference, but the only player that that it's known that there was any kind of injury was Dayton Moore Jr. left the game early with a hip injury. Unless he was out there on the last couple plays when the Steelers were taking a knee and I didn't notice. I know that he wasn't in there in the first drive in overtime. So he wasn't back out there. That's going to have a lot to do with things. It might just be that the Steelers say, you know what, if Dan needs a little bit time to make sure this hip is okay, then we have other options. But it was going to be interesting. It was either going to be Zach Banner or Joe Haig not getting a helmet tonight. I still feel that the Steelers waited till Saturday to put Juju on IR because they needed to see if there was somebody other than Banner that they were going to need for this game. Like if one of the wide receivers wasn't going to be able to play or something like that. And that's why they waited so late in the week, but it didn't hurt to go ahead and do it. I really don't know what they're going to do. I mean, we'll see if that injury if there's any seriousness to it or not, but I don't know I didn't know what they were going to do this past week. I mean, it went from once he was on the 53, I'm like, for all I know, Zach Banner could start or he could not have a helmet. I had no idea which way they were going.
Do you think that anyone has unearned their helmet?
Not at this point, no. I mean, there's so much. I mean, Dan Moore Jr. is such a young player. You know he's going to have growing pains. But at the same time, you know, I I often wondered, I'm like, are they still going to go with him when Banner returns just to say that, well, he was only filling in because of injury. I didn't know that that was necessarily the case. So I don't know what they're going to do with Chooks. I really don't know. Let's just say this. I like what Coach Tomlin said in his press conference Tuesday of, I'd much rather worry about how I'm going to worry about having six players than what I'm going to do if I only have four. So, well, I mean, we'll see what they do.
Yeah, time will tell. And in your original answer, Dave, you did bring up the receivers, which I think is important here. And I'll throw this to Kyle first. James Washington was a complete no-show after a catch early in the first half. It seemed like he wasn't even playing, but it seemed like he was healthy. I saw the 13er on the sideline, but not on the field despite Juju's injury. It was Ray McLeod carrying a bulk of those snaps. Also, with this bye week, it seems that Anthony Miller, once he kind of understands the playbook, will be brought up into the Steelers' offense, whether or not he gets any significant playing time. Only time will tell on that, too. What do you think is going on with the Steelers receivers here in the number three and four guy? Because it seems like it's a bit of a wash right now after Juju goes on the IR.
I'm wondering if James Washington wasn't 100% and he kind of just stuck it out there because they weren't sure what they were going to need. And, I don't know the snap counts, but I mean, Washington only got one target, you know, and Ray only got two. And I don't think the fifth guy played any snaps at all. I didn't see Cody out there at all.
Yeah.
So you know, and we knew there's a lot of Freiermuth and of course a lot of Najee, but I'm wondering if Washington just wasn't 100%.
That's a good point because he has been battling a groin injury as well. He was on that all groin team that the Steelers had going there for a while. But Dave, same question to you. What do you think is going on with this receiver spot? Because it definitely seems like a lot of stuff's up in the air.
Yeah, and honestly, it might have just been, hey, we're going to do what we do this week and we have an extra week to try to figure it out during the bye week. Let's not overwork whichever one might have needed the least amount of work between Washington and Claypool. I mean, Claypool was out there. He had seven targets, but only had two catches and kind of struggled in this game. So maybe they're keeping that down. I like Freiermuth, seven receptions on seven targets. You know, he was kind of filling in that role. But you brought up Anthony Miller. Remember, he's on the practice squad. And for all we know, that there's no plan for him at all. You know, when you sign a guy to the practice squad, I mean, just think, there was reports that Carl Joseph was going to be elevated to the 50 or brought on the 53-man roster as soon as he was up and going. He's been elevated off the practice squad once. You know, you sign guys to the practice squad to just kind of see what they can do. And I'm not looking for Anthony Miller to be anything for the Steelers. So unless they really see something that they like in practice. So I don't know if they have it figured out, but I think they almost went into it this week knowing that it was that they could get by for a week before they figure it out.
Now, Anthony Miller was going to sign in the Jaguars with the idea that once he understands the playbook would be in the lineup. So to kind of turn your back to that, I know Jacksonville's in a bad spot. Playing time, that's pretty important if you want to stick around in the NFL. So maybe there's something behind that. Again, time will tell. But I'll throw this next one down to Kyle here. Dave mentioned Chase Claypool, buddy Chase from up here in Canada. He had probably his worst game as a professional football player. He made a ton of mistakes. That pass interference took the Steelers out of field goal range until Najee made a great play to put them back in field goal range, even though Boswell's kick looked like it would have been good from another 10 yards back, who he's been on the money. We'll get to him a little bit later, but what do you think of Chase Claypool? It seems like, once again, he's not fighting for those 50-50 balls. When he leaves his feet, he falls on his chest. He's making mistakes. What is going on here? Is this a sophomore slump, or is this the actual player?
You know, I think even the most disheartening mistake was whatever the miscommunication where he with Ben, where, you know, Ben thought he was going to do the comeback route, and he just kind of went, and it's like, ah, man, like that's the kind of communication that has to happen. You know, the execution is one thing, but the above the neck play has to be there before. I don't know. It seems like every other week we hear maybe Roethlisberger talk about how Claypool should be, you know, like a kind of a Calvin Johnson or, you know, or a Randy Moss type of guy. And it seems like they're always challenging him to be that. And I don't want, you know, I don't want to be, it's like Martavius Bryant. He's not stepping up to the challenge. But after last year, when we saw, what, 10 touchdowns, it's kind of disappointing when, you know, he's out there with two catches.
Yeah, and of course, Ben did miss him running down the numbers there. Claypool is running open. That could have been a big play. Ben has been the part of the issue sometimes, but I don't think Claypool did himself any favors at all. Dave, I'm curious if you agree on all the Canadians you were talking
about. I think you guys kind of hit it there. I don't know that he's 100%. You know, there was a report earlier that he went to the locker room with Claypool. We don't know if it's injury related or not, but it's just as much as we don't want an early bye week, and when we saw the schedule coming out, we're like, the week seven, really, in a 17-week season after the Steelers got screwed out of not having a bye last year. But now that it's here, I'm like, yeah, this could be with Juju out for the season and some of the wide receivers a little bit, you know, dinged up in practice this week, this could be a good time for it.
So, yeah, this is going to be a huge week now for the Steelers up ahead with this bye week, trying to figure out their health first and foremost and figure out some lineup, getting some guys back in and maybe trying to reshuffle a little bit with Juju out of the lineup. Now, the other receiver I think we should also touch on was Deontay Johnson, who, once again, looks like he's Ben Roethlisberger's favorite target. He had that one drop which hurt in the second half, which seemed to be kind of setting up something where the Steelers could have taken control of the game later in the game, but it bounced out of his hands. I believe that's his first drop of the season. Kyle, do you think he's become a number one wide receiver in this league, or is there still steps for him to take?
I mean, you know, it's statistically and everything we see on film, he's been our number one, you know? And I think, you know, I guess the big question this week was who was going to be in the slot. I think we saw him in the slot a good amount. Is that true? I don't think, because, you know, we wanted to see
Clay. They were switching it up. They were.
Yeah.
Clay was out wide most of the game.
So, you know, that was an interesting decision, but if that's who Ben has the most trust with, then great. Let's, you know, I'll put him over the middle. But it seems like he does everything that we ask. If it's the deep ball, if it's, you know, over the middle, the whole route tree. It seems like he's the complete guy. Yeah.
To move on to the next position group here, because I really want to make sure we hit on everyone. The tight ends, Dave, I thought were outstanding, highlighted by Pat Freiermuth, Eric Ebron getting a touchdown. Gentry seems to have rapidly improved his blocking. What do you think of that trio? It, to me, had a great game.
Yeah, I mean, can you really complain about it? I mean, Freiermuth, you know, I said before, caught all of his targets. Seven receptions on seven targets for 58 yards. Ebron, he was only targeted twice, caught them both. I mean, the one was it was such a tight catch that he had to go up and catch for the first down that you couldn't even tell that was him for sure, because you couldn't even see his number because the defense was on him so much. So, and then of course, you know, the run, Ebron did have that horribly missed block where that
it,
I mean,
was funny,
they
honestly
even showed the replay that of how bad he missed it. But, you know, tight ends miss blocks. That's what happens. You just don't want them to be that bad. But in all, for the position group, I was pretty happy with their play and their utilization.
So, Kyle, just talking for Army specifically here, I've been pretty vocal about thinking he could be perhaps one of the top tier tight ends, or if not the tier below that. If the Steelers utilize him more, is that insane thinking, or is Freiermuth that guy?
I, you know, you remember how Heath Miller was relied upon on third down situations and in over the middle, and it seems like Freiermuth can be that person. He sits, you know, he's not doing these, you know, he's not doing Gronk. I remember we called him Little Gronk for a minute. He's not doing like Gronk routes, you know, up the seam yet. But everything that we need, possession over the middle, not dropping it, and you know, we've seen some blocking too. So he seems to be the guy.
Yeah, he sprung Deontay Johnson's 25-yard rush. That was a hell of a block by Freiermuth. Yeah, quickly becoming a fan favorite here.
Yeah, that was a nice looking play.
Yeah, great design too. I think we should also give Matt Canada some props. I think he called a very good football game. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely go there. I mean, some people are like, oh, it's still the same stuff. No, I haven't thought that it looked like the same stuff for quite some time, but it seemed like it was even more each week it seems like it's growing even more, and you're like, oh, that's a nifty play. Ooh, that's a nifty play. Ooh, that's what I want to keep saying each week.
Yeah. And we've been in situations where we can open up the playbook. You know, we've had third and short, like the games against the Raiders and the Bengals. I mean, we were starting off in the hole. You know, we were starting off like first and 20, first and 15. So we're finally able to open up the playbook, I think.
Now, I think the big guy we need to talk about here, of course, is Big Ben Roethlisberger, who continues to look pretty good after a stretch where he looked pretty bad over the Steelers' three losses. Kyle, I'll ask you first on this one here. Ben was dicing the ball around for a couple of drives. He was pretty accurate. He didn't make big mistakes aside from that fumble, which, I mean, it depends. If it was 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been a fumble. But just your general thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger and if he's playing more like the way we need him to play to continue to win games.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on a pass-fail scale, this was definitely a passing performance. You know, the deep miss was, we had another one of those. That was a bummer. The fumble, it seems like we're having a turnover every game, like one turnover bad a game one. From Ben, and it's like, that's going to,
Every week but week one, yep.
Yeah, so that's I hate to say, like, how do we turn that around? I don't know if you do with Ben, because that's just how he plays in the pocket there. But I think, during the game we had, I think, fourth quarter, 4 minutes left and Ben in control. I said, this is where you want us to be. You want Ben with the ball, 4 minutes left in the fourth to win the game. I'll take that every week.
Yeah, Ben, he's been there and done that, that's for sure. Now, Dave, what do you think of the Steelers' old gunslinger? Did he impress you today?
I mean, he has his moments, and then he has a fumble. You know what I'm saying? It's I said it earlier that the Steelers are in overtime. I'm like, oh, man, just don't have the bad turnover that loses the game or something like that. You always know that at any moment – Ben Roethlisberger could make that big play, and at the same time, he could go for that big play and have it not go their way and turn into a big play for the other team. That's the potential of what you have with Ben. So it's ride or die with him. You know, that's what the Steelers are doing, and you just hope each week that he's having a good game.
Yeah, to me, he's looked his best in the three wins. He's looked his worst in the three losses.
yeah, you're spot on there.
So I guess the last big name we need to talk about on offense was one young Najee Harris, who continues to chew up yardage. I believe total yardage-wise, over 100 yards once again, scores another touchdown, I believe, for a fourth consecutive week now. Najee's been playing some pretty dang fine football. Dave, what do you think of the Steelers' super rookie running back and what he's been able to put on the field?
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, it was in the first half where the Steelers were, moving the ball. They were up 14-0, but it didn't seem like they were really getting Harris going. It seemed like the Seahawks were saying, nope, we're not going to let him beat us. Just like has been happening for most of the games for the Steelers, that they're saying, you're not going to beat us with the run game. Ben Roethlisberger's going to have to get it done in order for you all to win. And notice what happened after the Steelers started to get it done with Ben Roethlisberger. Things opened up much better. And Najee Harris, he continues to run hard. He had one play where he kind of slipped. Otherwise, he's doing a really good job of just – not going down on first contact. And I mean, he's what you want out of a first round draft pick if you're going to use it on that position.
Yeah. Hey, the one negative play, I would say, when Jamal Adams smacked him, probably the hardest hit Najee Harris has probably ever taken in his career. He popped up with a big smile on his face. I was concerned, but I think Najee was loving it. Kyle, what do you think of Najee's day?
You know, what I love to see was in the fourth still, when it was 17-17, and, I think there was a 4 yard, first and 10 for 4 yards, and we had another first and 10 for 9 yards. There was, I think another first and 10 for 10 yards on that same drive. So late in the fourth, still running it. He's embracing contact. He takes it and falls forward. He's everything that it's been cracked up to be so far. There's no complaints.
yeah, the Steelers rookies really have been excellent for them so far this year. And one of those rookies in, I guess, position groups we should also touch on because they inevitably won us the game. The Steelers special teams guys, of course, Christian Kuntz, Chris Boswell, and Presley Harvin III. Dave, I'll start with you on this one. Presley Harvin, he blasted a couple punts. I'm sure Jeff Hartman was somewhere over there in Maryland smiling away. There's the one shank, but he was bombing the ball around. Of course, Chris Boswell was automatic again, and no complaints from the long snapper. What did you think of the operation and all those special teams guys?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to cut down on the one bad punt, but I mean, it was frustrating. I tweeted it out during the game. Presley Harvin had more punts in the first quarter for the Steelers than he had the entire previous week. You know, he can be a better punter when you don't have to use him as much. I was impressed with his holding even before the announcers brought it up on the 52 yarder that, you know, he's doing a good job with the holding. That was probably the weakest part out of everything. But my goodness, how fantastic is it to have Chris Boswell? I mean, the 52 yarder where I was fairly confident with that one. But once the Steelers had the ball in overtime, I'm like, stop messing around and having Ben falling down on the field. Just go out and let him kick it. He's going to hit it. Just finish it. Because I had no doubt that Boswell was going to hit that kick to win the game. And a lot of NFL teams don't have that right now. So I'm just really thankful that the Steelers have a guy you can depend on.
Yeah, outside of Justin Tucker and Chris Boswell, it seems like Matthew Wright, the ex-Steelers kicker, might be the third best kicker in football.
What's up with that guy kicking 50 yarders, man? If he could have done that last year against WFT, then the Steelers would have known how everything would have played out.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, it's a wild, wild week. Weeks for kicking. Kyle, I'll throw this one down to you, too, before we start tying a bow on the show. What do you think of Chris Boswell out there today?
Well, you know, I mean, the stat came out, you know, this week, third all-time best kicking accuracy or something in league history. So I think that's enough said. Hey, you know, you got to give to Harvin because, the reason we shut them out in the first half was part of his kicking. You know, I think every kick in that first quarter was it down within the 20 or no returns?
Aside from the shank, I think they were all inside the 20.
Yeah, and the one that he had to punt because Deontay Johnson wanted to go out of bounds on third down to save the you don't want to stop the clock at the end of the first half like that on third down. Come on, just go down in bounds and the game and it would have been the half. But he punted one into that was his only time he's gone into the end zone this year, I'm pretty sure. But that was the perfect time to do it. Because the last thing you wanted to do was let them run anything back. So you just put it in the end zone, and hopefully they would just take a knee, which they did.
And the Steelers eventually victorious in the game. Now, we are at the top of our hour here. Closing thoughts from everyone. Kyle, I'll start with you. General sense on this game, what do you think?
Hey, you know, I hate to say a classic when it's up against Geno Smith or whatever, but it's an instant classic. The best 3-3 Steelers team ever, and the happiest I've ever been to be 500. I think things are only looking up. You know, at least from the past 2-3 weeks.
No, absolutely, Dave. What are your closing thoughts?
3-3. I said it when the Steelers were 1-3. Don't worry about how are they going to get to 10 wins? How are they going to get to 8 wins? How are they going to get to where are they in the North? Now, win the next game. They had to get their second win. They got it. I'm like, hey, now just worry about getting your third win. Great. Now they have to do is worry about getting their fourth win, and they have some time to get healthy and to get right a little bit, maybe work on some things, you know, get some rest. Then you've got to just worry about win number four. Everything else will happen. That's what you have to do from here on out. But the most important thing from this week is now Seattle has 4 losses.
There you go. That is great stuff right there. But I guess for me, closing thoughts here, the next one's the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers can win that. The Browns are very beat up. Someone said they had the record for longest injury report in the history of injury reports in the NFL this past week. And then a ton of other guys got hurt. It sounds like Kareem Hunt might have tore his Achilles. Baker Mayfield popped his shoulder out again. they are in some rough shape. So the Steelers might be able, well, they have that revenge game first and foremost heading up to Cleveland, but they might they have them right for the picking. You win that game, the Steelers have a pretty clear path to a playoff spot, despite it only being week 8, but things start to look pretty good for them. Kyle, is there anything you want to plug before we say goodbye to everyone?
Hey, just listen to What Jin's Talking About on Fridays. We're having a blast doing it every Friday. You know, we kind of lambast some of the hot takes on social media, and well, if you got a blue check mark, you know you put a target on yourself. So you know.
fair enough, I suppose. I get ripped from everyone for having that stupid thing. But anyway, Dave, Dave, what do you got going on?
Well, what I need to talk about is, because I told everyone this would be happening, we've got 379 people in the live chat. We will be having an article coming out very soon. I'm pretty sure it'll be tomorrow. What's going on is it's the bye week, and we need, you know, not that we need, but what else do we want to have to offer for the bye week at Behind the Steel Curtain? So we wanted to do something extra special with the podcast. So I came up with, I'm like, oh, let's just go with alliteration. Let's use B. So we have the BTSC bye week bonanza coming up. And we're basically going to try to run this when the Steelers players are off. So, you know, we'll still have our coverage from the game that was for the next several days. And then the next week we'll get kicking into everything going on with going in to Steelers in their week 8 matchup with the Browns. But in between there, we're going to have some other stuff, and we're going to get some breakdowns of, hey, how's the season going so far with the Steelers and everything from our podcasters. But we also wanted to give you a chance. We wanted you all to have a chance to do to kind of have a voice with this. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to give you the opportunity to send us a 60-second audio clip that we will put out on our podcast platform. We'll put a bunch of them together on our podcast platform. You can send those to Brian Anthony Davis. Man, I was supposed to have his email from him, and I didn't have it. So I'm going to look it up while I'm talking. And we have a few things that we want you to do. We want you to basically tell us your thoughts on the season so far. Well, first of all, we want to tell us who you are and where you're from. If you're in the live chat, or if you are a commenter on the website, tell us your screen name. Okay. Then tell us, what are your thoughts on the Steelers, you know, being 3-3, everything so far. Where do you see this Steelers team going forward? You've got to keep it clean, keep it appropriate, try to give us some good audio. You can just record it on like your voice memo thing or whatever voice recording you have for a phone, and you can send it to one Brian Anthony Davis at badavis8889@gmail.com. That is badavis8889@gmail.com. We will have an article up on the website. We would love to get those, to hear from you all and give you all a voice for you to have a chance to be heard on our podcast platform. So we're hoping you all take advantage of that. We thought it was a nice, fun idea. I hope I plugged it all right. I would put that email address in the live chat, but I don't think it'll actually come through. They block it when you try to do stuff like that on these things. So, so if anything else, make sure you come to behindthesteelcurtain.com and look for that information.
Yeah. Great stuff. Enjoy coming on the show with both of you guys here doing the post-game show. Pleasure as always. I guess the last thing we need to say too is,
I guess it does work. Sorry. There we go.
So I guess the closing thought here is, make sure to click over to behindthesteelcurtain.com. I know knee-jerk reactions are already up there. Dave Schofield will have his game balls. I'll have a report card for early in the morning. Tons of information breakdown on this game, some preview for, of course, the bye week. Who's looking to come back in the lineup, all that great stuff is always available behind thesteelcurtain.com. So make sure you just, you're locked into the website. And lastly, like it's been mentioned before, if you're only listening to the shows on YouTube and Facebook, you're only getting about a third of the story right now, wherever you get your podcast from. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Pandora or Stitcher, wherever, search up Behind the Steel Curtain. Heck, just search up Steelers. We're probably number one. So just click over, subscribe, 5 stars, hit the like button, whatever it takes to get that content. Whatever you guys can do to support us means we can give you more of this great content we know each and every one of you love. The Pittsburgh Steelers were victorious 23-20 over the Seattle Seahawks in overtime. 3-3 heading into the bye week. For Kyle and Dave, my name is Michael Beck. Thank you for watching the post-game show. We will catch you guys in 2 weeks when the Steelers are back against the Cleveland Browns. Have a good
night. Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow.